Have you had your soup today?
And the cold, crisp taste of Coke is so satisfying, it keeps me from eating something else that might really add those pounds.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to another year of Sheologians. We are here back in the new year. This month, especially, we are going to work on putting the she in brainwasher. I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Joy. She is the Susan B. Anthony to my Elizabeth Cady Stanton. And if you don't get that reference, you're going to in about 10 minutes.
You will know. Yes. I am Joy, and I'm here with my co-host, Summer, who is as savage and beautiful as Wednesday Addams.
Yes, thank you. I need to start writing all these down.
So that we don't repeat them?
No, so that I can like put them in a book, and if I'm having a bad day, I can just like
so we can needlepoint them?
Needlepoint them,
on a pillow?
Absolutely. Maybe put some doilies around it. Some
right.
Wednesday Addams. Do people know who Wednesday Addams is? They do.
If they don't, I'm sorry.
All right. Well, we're missing out. We're here and we are going to be talking to you about something that's near and dear to our hearts. And that is the destruction of something called feminism. We believe it is a poison. And we are going to tell you why. We're going to take the whole month, actually, to tell you why. So buckle up or I don't know.
That sounds masculine.
That sounds too masculine. Do some dishes while you're doing this so that you're invigorated. Maybe mop the floor.
Hold on to your corsets.
Right. So here's the thing.
Sorry.
remember when last year when we started doing Sheologians, and we had like 250 positive reviews on iTunes and then that like one negative one and it was like, they giggle too much.
Yeah.
I just feel like since they said that, I just have to keep doing that. Does that make
me like
ornery?
Giggle even more?
Obstinate? Does that make me obstinate?
Contrary?
I'm a contrarian.
Yep.
Right. Unlike feminists who actually are all from the same mold. We're going to explain that.
Right.
So anyway, Joy last night came over, put the toilet paper roll on my toilet paper holder. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. Here's the thing. So I wrote a blog about feminism last week and the response I got was pretty crazy because we're dealing with a topic that is multitudinous in its meanings to people. And so I have a lot of Christians who say things like, well, I'm a feminist because I believe, you know, that women are just as valuable as men.
Right.
To which I say, well, that doesn't make you a feminist.
Right.
And what was your communist analogy that you gave me?
Okay. So I was just saying it's not a good comparison because feminism is not subjective. It's objective.
Yes.
So giving your kids the same amount of snack at snack time does not make you a communist.
Right. Right.
It's not like, oh, because I think they all deserve the same thing. Because right. It's really, there is a very long history and ideology that goes along with communism and feminism. It didn't just come up and then people were like,
oh, let me make it mean whatever I want it
right,
to.
Exactly. Right. So when you say you're a feminist, just know that it means what it means.
It means something in history.
Right.
And it actually has a historical basis. And so I have never wanted, we're a micro podcast, so I've never wanted to give y'all a history lesson. I think you can open up a book if you want a history lesson. However, if we're going to discuss feminism, there are some things you need to know.
Right.
And here's the thing. So when you're engaging with people in their worldviews, feminism now is something that the majority of Bible-hating liberals on college campuses would call themselves. So if you're going to engage with them, you need to know them. You need to know what they believe, why they believe it. Of course, the most important thing you can ever do if you're engaging with another worldview is to know what you believe and why you believe it. That is the most important thing. However, if you're going to have a conversation with average Joe on a college campus, they're probably going to identify themselves.
Why did you use a male name?
Why did I?
Josephina. Come on.
Because I'm not a feminist. That's why. You got to know a little something. So I want you guys to just indulge me for 3 minutes.
Well, and honestly, it's just there may be people that are, you know, well-intentioned in saying that they're Christian feminists.
Sure.
But unfortunately, that's not right. You know, I get the idea of what you're meaning when you say that you're a Christian feminist, but maybe we should just come up with a better term for that and we can coin it here on Sheologians.
Right. Well, I don't think Christians need the word feminism, and maybe we'll get to that today or in our fourth week. So today we're going to talk about first wave feminism.
Yep.
Which was the kind that started with Susan B. Anthony. Everyone knows who she is, mostly. Mm-hmm. Did you know, however, that Susan B. Anthony was not the intellectual behind what actually happened in the movement? Her best friend, her name was Elizabeth Cady Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
And they would admit to them, I mean, they said themselves, you can go read about this, that Stanton was the brain, and she had 7 kids. So she couldn't go out. She couldn't do a whole lot of speaking engagements like Susan could. So basically she was, she created the lightning bolts and Susan B. Anthony threw them. That's how they described themselves.
Nice.
So anytime you read something Susan B. Anthony did or said, just know it's actually from Stanton. And
they shared.
Anthony was just kind of the face for it.
Yep.
So the things you need to know about them are that they had 2 big goals, and that was women's suffrage and the temperance movement. Suffrage was the right to vote. The temperance movement was that they wanted to prohibit the sale and the use of alcohol. And so the reason these are tied together is because they believed that if women couldn't vote, then alcohol could never be prohibited because men love alcohol.
Right.
Which is apt, probably.
Right.
But anyway, we'll move right along there. Okay, so here's the thing. Do you disagree that women should be allowed to vote?
Are women capable in a perfect world? Okay, so yes.
Okay.
Women are capable of voting.
Sure.
Is the current voting system my preferred method of voting? No.
Right. No, I'm 100% with you.
Right. So first, tell us
what
our preferred voting system would be, which is not just, it's a historical voting system.
Yes.
It's not just like when we were like, this will solve all the problems.
Right. So if you take a history class now in a public school, they'll tell you that the only people that could vote originally were white male property owners, which is true with a spin. The truth is that the vote back then was more viewed as like a household vote. So it wasn't necessarily that their line in the original thinking was only men could vote. You have to understand that back in those days, when the founding fathers were writing the Constitution, the nuclear family was everything. It was the basis of society. And so, sure, they would say only the men vote, but the men as the representatives of the family were voting.
Well, and just consider that the structure of it wasn't the same as it is now. It's not like women were showing up to the polls.
Right.
And they were like, get away, she-devil.
Right.
Or they were just throwing their votes directly into the fire while they laughed.
They just like threw it in like the woman wrote this.
Right.
So I'm going to put it in this basket.
Ew.
That doesn't get counted. That wasn't, but you know, if you're learning about it now, that might be the feeling that you get, which really wasn't what was happening then. But anyway. And so, what was it? White male property owners. So there is a way in which, and this is going to rub a lot of people wrong, I like the idea that there were restrictions to who could vote in terms of people that own property.
And I like the idea of the vote being, you know, a collective household thing.
Yes, I like all of that.
Because, the woman had a vote. It was just as a part of her family.
Right.
And so did the man.
Right.
The man's vote was also
as a representative.
Yes.
Which I'm totally cool with. So people have asked me, because I've put it out there before, I'm totally a fan of the idea of property owners, business owners, being the type of people that can vote. Obviously that doesn't work anymore because of taxes. So now Everyone pays taxes and gives money to the government because of that evil thing called the income tax. Therefore, yes, I do think that they should have a say in what happens. But that's a whole other story. I like the idea of business owners, property owners voting because I think this whole minimum wage mess would never have happened.
Right. Because they actually, the issues would affect them and the vote wouldn't go. The vote would go to people who are working.
Have an investment in
Right,
the future.
Yes.
But now because of taxes, we all have an investment, forced investment in the government. So the minimum wage thing would never have happened if business owners were voting. And we see the negative results of this minimum wage rise and people losing their jobs, businesses having to close.
Absolutely.
And so this whole minimum wage thing actually hurts people. It does not help them. It hurts the economy. It doesn't help it. People are being harmed. And I don't think that that vote would have happened if property owners or business owners were the people that were voting. But it doesn't really matter because we can't actually own anything anymore anyways. Because if you're one of those magical unicorns that actually owns your house, you don't actually own your house because you still have to pay property taxes. So this is perfect world stuff that doesn't really apply today.
Right. So that being said, what do you think?
I think women can vote.
Yes.
Would I have been on the train back then to get them to vote? No. I don't believe in the prohibition of alcohol. We wouldn't have really been in line with the first wave feminists and what they wanted to accomplish, not only because they were Susan B. Anthony was a happy agnostic.
Right.
They were devoid of a biblical basis for what they were trying to do. And I think prohibition of alcohol is sin. But I do want to mention one thing that we did agree with them on, because this is actually really impressive, and I do think they deserve a pat on the back for it. They began the first women's political platform called the Women's Loyal National League. And the reason that that deserves a pat on the back is because it played a huge role in defeating slavery. They were arguably founded in order to abolish slavery. And they gathered somewhere around 500,000 signatures, which is obviously impressive, especially because back then signatures weren't something you did online.
Right.
They gathered somewhere around 500,000 signatures in order to get the amendment passed that ended up abolishing slavery. So I applaud them for that.
Right.
And that is excellent.
Right. There's also a few other things that we would have agreed with them on.
Yep.
When most people would regard the Women's Rights Convention at Seneca Falls to be the first women's rights convention, and there they called abortion a disgusting and degrading crime.
They did, yes.
And then Mary Wollstonecraft, she also was against abortion and would also she was before them, even.
She was right before Susan B. Anthony.
Right, and she would have, she was against it as well. And let me find
Did you know, I believe it was her daughter, Wollstonecraft's daughter, wrote Frankenstein, Mary Shelley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, just throwing that out there.
Right, yeah.
She was against pornography. No, Wollstonecraft wasn't against pornography. It was Susan B. Anthony and Stanton. So we agree with them on that.
Yeah. So those and so it's interesting to see how perceived women's rights have changed even within the feminist community. Those that were the original feminists, they would not have said that abortion was okay. They recognized that abortions kill women. And I don't just mean during a botched procedure. I mean when you kill a baby that's a girl in the womb.
Right. So the interesting thing too, Wollstonecraft was over in France. And so we have these... It's really weird, and I hope you guys are totally... This history lesson is almost over. The Susan B. Anthony and Stanton, their feminist counterparts across the ocean over in Europe. They were fighting for political change with regards to women, and they were much more concerned with, like, free love and the throwing off of, like, traditional gender roles. But the feminists here, you know, they didn't start out that way. They were mostly concerned, like we said, with suffrage and the temperance movement.
Right.
Obviously, we eventually caught up. I would argue that the reason that the feminists over here caught up with them is because of Margaret Sanger. Now, Margaret Sanger was Technically, because at the time she was alive and working, a part of the first wave of feminism, although she was not as involved, nowhere near as involved, in temperance and suffrage, because her thing, and I think she's the most important first waver to discuss when it comes to worldview, because her crusade was her foundational belief was that women should have absolute control over their fertility. Extending both, not just to birth control, but offering safe abortions. Right. So she opened her first clinic in 1916, and this clinic would eventually become the foundations of Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And so Rebecca Merkel in Eve in Exile, which if you haven't picked that up yet, go ahead and pick it up. There's a link on our website. She points out in her book that emancipation for women was seen as emancipation from the restrictions of biology, meaning that you shouldn't have to be like Elizabeth Stanton, who was stuck at home with her kids, if you wanted a career. And so,
well, because she never did anything historically memorable, right?
Right. No, she didn't. Did she?
Not with seven kids.
No.
Surely not.
Right.
Why are we even talking about her?
And so it's from that basis right there that you ride into the second wave of feminism, which we're going to go into in detail next week. But the whole point of discussing the first wave of feminism is, I think, and maybe you can confirm or deny, when I learned about feminism in school, and I went to, I went to a traditional school, I went to a public school, I went to a private school, I kind of went all through it. But what I learned about feminism was just that it's all about respecting women, and that's what it's really about. And it never really went more surface level than, you know, these women thought that they should be able to vote. And I never learned about the tie between, you know, women's suffrage and the temperance movement and why that happened. I didn't know anything about these women or their backgrounds. And so I think a lot of times Christians can look at that and say, look, they stood up for women. But it's right. Like, well, what were they standing up for exactly?
Right.
What were they standing up for? Because I don't see any biblical basis for what they were standing up for. I don't think that Christians were saying anything that needed to be stood up to. And let's not forget that these women were agnostics. They were atheists. They were socialists. We don't have anything in common with them in terms of our worldview. And I think that everything that they were fighting for was a departure from God's design.
Agreed. And they were also not denied the right to vote. It was
right,
just
it was a
collective.
Household. Your family voted.
No
right.
one said no women voting.
Right.
That wasn't something that happened.
But it's like when we look, it's like we anachronistically look back at it and kind of put our own culture's spin on it.
Right.
Now, obviously, women couldn't show up to the poll. I mean, anyway.
Right. I know. It's so hard to explain. Even. But so like, so we would agree. This would kind of, I don't know, maybe this takes us more, it's more of a setup for
next
our
week?
Second wave episode.
Yeah.
But so you see an obvious political agenda in terms of the whole prohibition thing.
Yes.
And then at some point, as we move into the second wave, it turned into sort of an equality issue, and not even not so much equality, but they wanted to take on the roles of men.
Yes.
They didn't want to be equal. They wanted to take on the roles of men. They wanted to be able to not have children.
Yes.
To show up to the same places that men would show up.
Right.
And so it's interesting, and I encourage you to consider that, ironically, the very foundation of feminism is idolatry of men. And I don't just mean man in the human type way. I mean men in the gender type way. Men were not living up to our expectations, or we felt... you know, we felt like we were victimized by them.
Right. Men could sin sexually and not
right.
have a child as a, quote, consequence.
Right.
Therefore, women should be free to do the
right.
same.
And so the whole standard is a comparison to men and wanting to enjoy the same, big air quotes, luxuries as men.
Yes.
And interestingly enough, that is making man...
An idol,
a god. And so big surprise that hasn't worked out, and big surprise that we see waves 2 and 3 in the feminism movement, because it is not going to work ever to have anyone as your god other than the one true god.
Boom. That was a bomb drop right there. It's so true. I can't wait to talk about second wave feminism because it's my favorite because it's the worst.
Right.
I think.
Right. It's where it all went. You know, I almost wish that we could have the original, like, suffragettes on Sheologians.
I know,
just to
right?
see what they would say.
I know. To see, yeah, I would love that, actually. I think they'd be appalled, except for Margaret Sanger, who's one of the most evil people that's ever walked the earth, in my opinion.
Right.
But, so, yeah, let's talk about that next week. I'm sure, because this is a short podcast, y'all are going to have questions, maybe things you'd like to hear cleared up. And I would love to spend all of my time actually engaging with this. So if you guys want to just flood the comment box, I am ready to answer because I love this and I love fighting feminism. So let's talk about it. But hey, we're a short podcast. So hopefully, okay, so that little history lesson, hopefully you take away something from it. Hopefully,
and just know that we're not done.
We're
also
not done. So next week we're going to discuss the second wave of feminism, which is what happened in the 60s and the 70s and the sexual revolution. And it's a huge, huge reason why we have the Holocaust in the womb that we have today. Which is just hard for me to even say out loud because it hurts. Thank you, feminism. So, Joy, I have a question for you.
Okay.
And here's the thing, you guys. Joy knows the answer to my question. She knows it intimately. But I don't know this about her, and it's actually been weighing deeply on me.
Oh, gosh.
So, Joy, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel about wearing shoes inside your house?
Oh, I'm not a fan.
Mm. Okay.
Generally, if I'm in someone else's house, unless they ask me to take my shoes off, I will keep my shoes on. Or if I know them well and I'm comfortable. Okay. That being said, in my own house, I typically do not wear shoes. I usually take them off pretty much first thing.
Is it a comfort thing for you? What is it?
It's a comfort thing. Okay. During the summer, I would generally even not like to wear shoes at all.
Right.
But our sidewalk can give you third-degree burns.
Yes, it can.
So
yep.
I don't do that.
No.
But
right.
Okay. Yes. I generally prefer to be shoeless.
Yes. Oh, good. Okay. So few things give me more anxiety than someone walking around my house with shoes on.
Mm-hmm.
The stress that it makes me feel, just thinking about it right now, I have my chest is heavy. I can't handle, just why is this happening? And part of it is because, you know, I've had a baby for the last year. And so she rolls around on the floor. She picks up everything off the floor and puts it in her mouth. Crawls on the floor, and you know, that's where my child lives, like this person that I've been put over to care for. And so, you know, especially when she was crawling, now she's walking, but when she was crawling, when people would walk inside with their shoes on and they wouldn't take them off, I would have this moment where it's like, I want to be hospitable and I want to love you well. Also, you're making me want to cry.
Also, get your shoes off.
Also, take your freaking shoes off, please. I don't care how recently it's been since you have or had not had a pedicure. Like, please just take your shoes off.
Right.
And so I pass this on to Clementine, who, as you know, the great thing is, and this is, I'm learning one of the many benefits of having children is you turn them into yourself. And so when people walk inside, if they continue walking inside with their shoes on, she will ask them to remove their shoes.
Right.
And then as soon as they do, she will put them in the hall closet.
Yes,
where
she will
go. So if you ever come in my house and you don't know where your shoes are, go ahead and look in the hall closet.
Or if you forget to take your shoes off, do not worry. Clementine will remind
you. She will remind you. And know that I have also already noticed and been staring at your shoes and been trying to love you well by not crying that you haven't taken them off yet. So, yeah, that's how I feel. I love to run my home and raise my children.
Right.
And look at me still doing things.
Right.
So, yeah.
And you get the vote, you sweet little thing.
And I get to vote.
I declare.
Hey, so if you guys want to help us fight feminism, go to patreon.com/sheologians and partner with us. We need your support. And we're going to keep doing this. And we like doing this. And like I said, go ahead and flood the comment box. If you disagree with me, want to yell at me, say mean things.
Right.
If you're an angry feminist.
And honestly, I honestly don't mind you guys saying mean stuff to us, but I would discourage you from saying mean things to other people in the comment section.
Yes.
We're putting ourselves out here, you know, just be nice to one another. You don't have to be nice to us, but just be nice to one another.
Yeah. Or I will have to admin.
I mean, we're asking for it.
I am asking for it.
So, like, yes. You know, what can you do? But someone who just comes on and gives their opinion, even if it's wrong, you can tell them they're wrong, but try to avoid any, like, unnecessary nastiness.
Right, because I ain't got time for that.
Right.
All right, guys, tune in next week where we will describe to you the many ways in which feminism is responsible for the Holocaust in the room. Not 100%, but pretty heavily. And we will see you then.
See ya.